Hello, everyone, and welcome back. So let's get right into it. The new Cold War is happening right now. It's online, and you are the battlefield. Today, we're going to unpack how new legislation in the UK and the EU is using the idea of empathy, weaponizing it, really, to bring in mass surveillance and censorship. And it's all being done under this banner of protecting children. Now, in response to this, the US has just launched something called freedom.gov, which is supposed to help users bypass these bans. We're going to look at the huge transatlantic tensions this whole thing is creating and what it could all lead to, this idea of a fragmented splinternet that's defined by competing global powers. And look, that's not just some dramatic headline to grab your attention. This quote, it really cuts to the very heart of what's going on. We are smack in the middle of a major struggle for what the internet is even going to be in the future. And the front line? It runs right through the screens we're all looking at right now. Okay, let's dive into this. All right, so to really get our heads around this, we're going to break it down into six parts. First, we'll look at the official story Europe is selling us. Then, we're going to deconstruct it. We'll cover the massive penalties that give these laws some serious teeth. And then, we'll see America's pretty bold response. Of course, we have to question the motives behind that response. And finally, we'll talk about what this all means for the future. This idea of a fractured global internet, the splinternet. So, how in the world did we get here? Well, it all starts with a very, very compelling promise. Both the UK and the European Union have rolled out these massive new regulations with one simple, powerful message. We are making the internet safer for you. Officially, if you read the press releases, the UK's Online Safety Act and the EU's Digital Services Act are just a necessary evolution. The story they're telling is that the digital world has been kind of a Wild West for way too long, and it's time for the sheriff to finally step in to protect the vulnerable, especially children, and give all of us more control over our online lives.
And when you look at the promises here on the screen, I mean, they sound fantastic, right? Who wouldn't want better protection for kids? A ban on those sneaky, dark patterns that trick you into clicking stuff you don't want to. Easy ways to report illegal content. More clarity on who's advertising to you. Making sure they're buying from real people online. On the surface, it is really, really hard to argue with any of this. But is that the whole story?
Let's move on and start pulling back that curtain. Because underneath all of that reassuring language about safety, critics are seeing the architecture of something far more troubling starting to take shape. This quote from Al Jazeera just captures the counterargument perfectly. It basically suggests that this entire safety framework is a pretext, right? A disingenuous cover for what is, in reality, one of the biggest expansions of state-sanctioned censorship that we've seen in the modern democratic world. Now, what's really fascinating here is that this didn't just happen overnight, not at all. A report from the U.S. House Judiciary Committee actually reveals this is the end result of a decade-long strategy. It all started way back in 2015 with these voluntary codes of conduct, and then it gradually, step by step, morphed into legally binding mandatory rules with the power to issue absolutely massive fines. This was a long-planned campaign to gain control over what we can say online. So the crucial question is, how was public support for this built? Well, it's a strategy that's being called the weaponization of empathy. You take this universal moral imperative, something no one can argue with, like protecting children, and you use it to push through policies that people would otherwise immediately reject, things like mass identity verification just to get online. It completely reframes a really complex debate about privacy and freedom into a simple emotional choice. Either you support these laws or you're just abandoning children to predators. It's a powerful tool. And here's where those censorship concerns become really concrete. These laws are built on incredibly vague and subjective terms like hate speech or harmful content. You know, the EU's own definition of hate speech is completely circular. It's defined as incitement to, well, hatred. This ambiguity gives regulators enormous power, and it forces platforms into a really tight corner. To avoid these crippling fines, they have basically no choice but to over-censor, to remove anything that could possibly be interpreted as a violation. So how are these rules actually enforced? Well, these aren't just suggestions. The UK and the EU built this whole compliance regime on one simple principle: fear. The penalties for disobeying are so unbelievably severe that they could threaten the very existence of even the world's largest tech companies. Let's start with the UK.
The Online Safety Act gives the regulator, Ofcom, the power to fine companies up to £18 million or 10% of their global annual revenue, whichever number is bigger. Now, for a company like Meta or Google, that's a number that gets the immediate attention of every single shareholder on the planet. But the UK goes even further, and this is wild. They're introducing personal criminal liability. Senior managers of tech companies, we're talking about people based in California, can face up to 2 years in a British prison if their company fails to comply with Ofcom's orders. This personal threat is just an unprecedented level of international legal pressure. The EU's Digital Services Act isn't too far behind, with fines of up to 6% of a company's total worldwide turnover. And believe me, the EU is not afraid to use this power. We saw it when Platform X was hit with a major fine in late 2025. These numbers are absolutely designed to force obedience. This table really illustrates just how radical this shift is from the American model. You see, in the US, Section 230 has historically shielded platforms from being liable for user content. But in the EU and the UK, platforms are now legally responsible. They have to remove not just illegal content, but in the UK's case, they have to remove content that is perfectly legal, but is simply deemed harmful. This fundamentally changes the role of a platform from being a neutral host to being an active, state-enforced censor. Now, this aggressive regulatory push from Europe was down to get a reaction, and in February 2026, it came. The United States didn't just file some diplomatic protest. Oh no, it launched a full-on technological and ideological counterattack. The initiative is called freedom.gov. It's a government-run website, an app, that basically functions as a really sophisticated VPN. Its stated purpose is to allow anyone, anywhere in the world, and that includes people in the UK and EU, to access the internet as if they were in America, completely bypassing their local content laws and censorship. And the US is not being subtle about this at all. This quote from Undersecretary Sarah Rogers frames the whole project in these deeply patriotic and ideological terms. It's being presented as a gift to the world, exporting the American value of free expression and directly confronting the European model of regulation. Make no mistake, it's a declaration of a digital war. Now, on the surface, this sounds like a huge win for free speech advocates, right? But just like we did with the European safety narrative, we need to look deeper and ask some really hard questions about America's true intentions here. And that leads us to this really critical question. The US government is positioning itself as the global champion of an open internet, but does its own track record at home on surveillance and privacy actually align with that image? Is this truly about liberty, or is there something else going on? This slide highlights a massive and, I think, very telling policy shift. For years, the US supported internet freedom by funding decentralized, open-source, privacy-preserving tools, things like Tor and Signal, through the Open Technology Fund. These are tools built by grassroots communities that anyone can audit for security. But then in 2025, that program was, and I quote, effectively gutted. It was replaced with freedom.gov, a centralized, closed-source system run by a branch of the Department of Homeland Security. As digital security consultant Andrew Ford Lyons points out, this is a profound change. Instead of empowering users with tools that protect their privacy from everyone, the US is now funneling global internet traffic through its own government-controlled black box. The big concern here is that this isn't about giving users true freedom. It's about trading European state surveillance for American state surveillance. And that brings us to the final and maybe the most important consequence of this whole transatlantic conflict. This isn't just a squabble between allies anymore. This is an event that is actively breaking the internet apart as we speak. We are literally witnessing the birth of the splinternet. The whole idea of a single, global, interoperable network, well, that idea is dying. And in its place, we're seeing the rise of a fractured digital world. You'll have the European bloc governed by safety and surveillance. You'll have the American bloc governed by freedom and, well, a different kind of surveillance. And that's not even mentioning the already existing Chinese and Russian blocs. The walls of a new digital iron curtain are going up. So the crucial point for the average person, whether you're in London, Berlin, or Paris, is this. You are being presented with a false choice. You can have the European internet, which is like a walled garden, where you're monitored in the name of safety, or you can use America's tool to tunnel into their garden, where you'll be monitored in the name of freedom. Neither of those options is the open, borderless internet that we were all promised. So look, we've seen how the rhetoric of protection can shift really quickly into the infrastructure of surveillance. Whether it's election year posturing or overseas overreach, the goal is always the same: your compliance. And complacency is the exact environment where these digital prisons are built. So here is today's challenge. Don't just take the freedom.gov headline at face value. Look at the fine print of the legislation that's being passed while you aren't watching. Privacy is a right, but it's only a right if you're willing to defend it. Thanks for listening. Keep your eyes open. And don't forget to keep your learning leveled up by joining us on the DBM Academy Wealth Builder Series. You can find the link in the show notes below.